cliffcentral.com.
Hello, hello, everybody. It's that time of the week. 20-something is in the building, and this is your girl, Londi Sam. The two other love monkeys are not here. They decided to ditch me once again. Got last minute. But it's okay. I am surrounded by very handsome men. and this one is pointing my finger. I don't know why. Temba is in the building. He comes from, he's one of the organizers of hashtag not in my name, one of the organizers of the march. And we have the K1 god, Senzo, yeah, is in the building.
Yeah,
that voice.
Yeah.
That voice. But voice, it's fine. And later on, we'll be joined by Shoma Jo, is one of our sisters in hip hop. She's known for her rapping in Setsonga. I think I said it right. I'm Zulu Bagit. So we're not gonna waste time. We're just gonna jump right into it. Manda, I'm gonna start with you. Temba, my goodness, what is wrong with me? I'm sorry. We're gonna start with you. Not in my name. It's a march that you guys are organizing that's gonna take place tomorrow in Pretoria at the Church Square, marching to the Union Building.
Right.
What is it all about?
Basically, you know, what it's about is that I'm sure you guys are well aware with the, you know, the increase of femicide in South Africa. And femicide, loosely termed, is a killing of females, especially by people that are known to them. And this, for lack of a better word, demon has risen so much in South Africa, where on a weekly basis you're just hearing every day now, girls are missing, they turn up tomorrow dead or raped, and it's usually by somebody that they are close with, a friend, a boyfriend, a husband. And today we were actually burying Okarabo, and RIP to her.
Mm-hmm.
And this march tomorrow is to basically create an awareness and a platform for both males and females with regards to femicide, and specifically the attitude of men in South Africa with regards to the way we treat women and the way we view women. Because this thing comes from either nurturing or nature, but it's something that is really terrible in our society at the moment, and it needs to be uprooted. So And we need forward-thinking men to come out and say, listen, this is not going to be happening. I'm not going to allow it, not in my name.
Uh-huh.
And I'm going to be my brother's keeper, you know. I'm going to make sure that, you know, at the braai, the club, and wherever we are, and we're sitting and talking about women, how we speak about women, how we interact with women. Those little subtle things that, you know, guys say amongst one another are things that actually end up encouraging abuse and you know, all these terrible things. So yeah, we're calling upon every South African to please come through tomorrow, support us, be at the march. It's a platform. Let's talk about what's happening. Let's try and get solutions amongst ourselves. It's non-political. It is by everyday individuals, every Joe, as you can see, I'm a normal guy on the street.
Mm-hmm.
And we are saying, let's get together, and then let's also hear from females. We want to hear ladies come and tell us about their experiences, for them to lead us with regards to this, and for us to know, you know, and learn with how we can be able to help in this situation. So 10 a.m. tomorrow, Church Square, Pretoria.
Okay. Someone, actually, a lot of people have been asking, what is a Mere March going to change? And I'm like, what is a Mere March not going to change?
100%.
So, what could you possibly say to someone who's saying, what is a Mere March going to change?
I think you put
it's just a march anyway.
Yeah, I think you put it very, very well. What's a Mere March not going to change? And remember, this is not about legislation or trying to get a president off the seat or anything like that. This is actually creating a platform for people, and specifically for ladies as well, to be able to come and share their experiences, and also to come and let everybody know, which this is what we go through.
Yeah.
You know, as guys, sometimes, Tina, we don't know much about what ladies go through. In the morning, we find people wake up at about 5 a.m. The risk of her from leaving home to the train station is terrible compared to a guy.
It's,
you know,
really bad.
And so this is a platform that we need to create to say, guys, things are happening, mm-hmm. and we need to also be aware to it and awake to it. And not only that, as individuals, try to put a stop to it, you know, create a consciousness around to know that would a woman is not a commodity, you know.
Yeah.
Your car is yours, your phone's yours, but not a woman, you know. It's, this is a friend, a partner, this is somebody with a purpose, this is somebody that's going somewhere. So you can't treat her as you would perhaps your phone. So those are important things that we want to highlight tomorrow. And thereafter, we'll start things like, you know, little conferences, different areas, mm-hmm. where we'll be going to actually have smaller events where we speak. But this is just to say, we're acknowledging that this is happening,
mm-hmm.
and it's not going to be happening, yeah. in our name.
Mixed feelings about this whole situation, mm-hmm. and people are saying, why are we only making noise about it now because of Karabo? Why does it have to take that her to for everyone to actually stand up and take note of what is happening and actually act on it? Why not any other person? Why her? Why does it have to be they someone called her a socialite, and I was like, not so sure. Why does it have to be a socialite,
yeah.
Why does it have to be her to get to that point where you're like, no, this is it, this is enough?
Look, I think it's a fair point that they're raising,
mm.
but I think also it's not necessarily justifiable, because this issue here is not necessarily about Ukarabo per se.
True.
But certain things happen, you know, and they build up, and then there comes a point where society says, now, right, this is, you know, enough.
Yeah,
I mean, look at our political situation, you know, things have been building up until people are saying, hey, we can't anymore.
Mm.
So perhaps maybe Karabo's situation was the last throw on the camel's back.
Yeah.
However, it's something that has been building up.
Yeah, yeah.
And somebody has to stand up and say something about it. And if not us, then who?
Yeah.
You know? So
true.
We thought, let's take a responsibility and let's make sure that we do something about it.
Mm.
Yeah.
Quest, I'm going to bring you in on this.
Okay.
You are a father to a daughter.
Yeah.
The state of everything that is going on, what does it say to you, and what is it that you can do to actually be part of this and be like, you know what, this is not going to happen in my watch? Like, what's your take on all of this?
I mean, I'm first of all, I'm coming to the march tomorrow.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah,
awesome.
I'm going to be
awesome.
There. But how do I feel about it? I'm scared, you know. It scares me. I come from... Like, I was raised by a single mother, right? I have a little sister, you know, I have a daughter, you know, I have a wife. So I'm surrounded by women generally,
yeah.
you know. I was raised by women, you know. And when my mother raised me alone, I mean, there was help from the aunt, there was help from Mukoko and everything, you know what I mean? So to see us as the men who are supposed to be protecting the greatness that is
yeah.
in women, to see us do the direct opposite is a scary thing for the type of society we're trying to build. I mean, I heard you say people asking, why did it take Ukarabo and anything like Mary Soul rest in peace, but it's like, to me, there's always a point of realization that it's a lot, and that's not an ignorance to anything that had happened before. I mean, there were freedom fighters before Nelson Mandela,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And why in Mandela? Then, exactly. You know what I mean? There's a point where people, where society wakes up, and I think this is it, you know. And things like the march that's happening tomorrow are just one of the things, one of the tools that now everyone is trying to use, because now it's gotten to a point where it's a matter of national importance.
Yeah.
It's a matter of as humanity, you know, as a human race, and generally how we treat each other. It's gone to a point where people have to do something.
Yeah.
You know, something had to be. It got to that point from the first time it happened. You know, it needed to get to that point.
Mm-hmm.
But we can't be here asking, why did it take that long?
You know,
what we need to be doing is, what do we do about it now?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But all in all, man, I just feel like we're born stronger as men physically, I guess, or whatever, and with the and that was solely to protect women. You know, it wasn't. It's not to flex on each other and show how much how big your biceps are or anything like that. You know, and what how much you are the man, because there's a difference between being a man and being the man. Know. So I think all of that is just a matter of us channeling and trying to group up together and channel each other to a common thinking that is a natural thing where we have to protect the women that are around us and everything.
I don't want to go back to this, but I'm going to bring it up anyway. Hashtag men are trash. Did any of you take offense to that? Does any other man out there have to take offense to that? Or men have completely missing the point of the hashtag itself?
Yeah, I think, look, I personally didn't take offense to it. It's like saying if you take us maybe 30 years back and say, you know, apartheid is bad and white people are evil. We know that it's not necessary, but it's creating a highlight to a situation. And we just got to own the thing. Said, look, men are trash, and there's guys who are abusive out there, guys who are bigots out there, guys who are rapists out there. And we have to take responsibility as men to say it's true. Men do this. And as a man, what am I going to do about it? Hence the Not In My Name movement now that started to say, listen, as trashy as this is, this is not what I want men to be seen as. And I'm going to stand up. We're going to, you know, put up our hands and be counted and say, listen, let's put a stop to this. And guys, this is not the way to treat women. You know, this is beating up on a woman, emotionally abusing a woman, financially abusing a woman. It's wrong, and it's not going to happen on our watch. And we're going to make sure that our sisters feel and know that there are men out there that are actually in support of them and want them to be prosperous and as great as any other human being is. So the men are trash thing wasn't really something that we took offense to, because it was an issue that was highlighting a real problem and a pandemic in the country. So actually big up to those guys that came up with that. It has created a dialogue now, and we're here because of that.
That's what I was about to say. I'm like, the importance of that, just seeing it depends on how you see it, right? I don't think it was driven from an ego point of view or trying to hurt a man's ego or anything like that. I think it was even bigger than that, because it has created dialogue, which is what we need more than just saying, yo, stop calling me trash, hashtag women are this, in response to that. You know what I mean? Instead of opening up dialogue, I saw a lot of people on social media trying to now counter attack the situation instead of opening up dialogue. But that's what it has done. That's what it's gotten to. You know, the hashtag is now an open dialogue where everybody, men and women, feel like there is a problem going on, right? There's a thing going on, and we all are needed in the resolving of this issue, you know, and through those dialogues, through the marches, through everything, we can then try and build, you know, a better society just for safety's sake.
It's very difficult. I don't want to bring this up. It's just one of those things I went through. Not a similar situation, but I'm thinking it was a man who it was a couple of guys who mugged me and the person that I was with. And 3 weeks later, I still find it hard to sleep at night. I'm saying, I got mugged 3 weeks ago, and there's someone who gets beaten every day, who is raped almost every night or every morning, and I am struggling to fall asleep at night. I have nightmares about something that happened 3 weeks ago, and I know I can feel it's gonna take a while for me to actually snap out of it. I can only imagine someone who goes through this every single day, and it's a man that she trusted in her life, and this is a man that she trusted with her life, and turns around and goes the 360 on her and turn around and do this inhumane thing, these inhumane things to her. It's just a sad thing, and to most people it hits home. Only now it hits home, now that everyone is actually making noise about it. I heard a guy who said, I used to see my dad beating my mom all the time, and I do not see myself doing that to any other woman. And I was like, if only we could have men like that throughout the country and throughout the world. It's Africa Month,
right. Yeah.
And a lot of things are being discussed in regards to being an African. And one of the things that is very huge in being an African, I don't think it's only about being an African, but I think it's just a universal thing, the spirit of Ubuntu. Do you guys think that, like, our moral stand ground, like, are we then morally bankrupt for some people to get to a point where they just destroy someone's life like that?
Yeah, well, first of all, I want to empathize with what happened to you 3 weeks ago, and I hope you're getting better and getting some help with regards to that. But yes, being Africa Month as well coming up, and the whole concept of Ubuntu. As Africans, I think culturally, in the right sense, we are taught that, you know, we should be our brother's keeper and our sister's keeper in that sense. And that the women play a pivotal role in our society, because these are the people that carry us for 9 months. These are the people that breastfeed us. These are the people that actually teach us the values of life from day one. So in the African sense, a woman is a queen, you know, is somebody that needs to be cherished, not just protected, but is someone that needs to be looked up to. So we've lost a lot of our values and our value systems with the passing of time, and also just with the erosion of people just becoming just bad, and you know, this notion that I'm taking care of myself and I'm looking after number one, and I don't care about the next person. And because men generally are physically stronger, they'd want to impose themselves upon women and things like that, and which is completely wrong. Hence this hashtag not in my name, and the platform that we're trying to create tomorrow, that listen, this is not the way we should go, and we should actually make sure that we you know, get back to ourselves and who we really are, and put the queens back where they belong, and put the crown back on their heads again. Yeah.
And this whole thing of objectifying women, being called yellow bones, being called this, like, does it have to go there? Does it have to go there?
But I'm all yellow.
No, but you don't have to call me that.
Right,
you know? Sure. Like you say, voluptuous women, some are calling the Lelia Pakistan. Do you honestly have to call me that? Because
right,
I am more than my physical looves and my physical
And it's wrong. I mean, it's not to be done, and that's why we, as men, in our private discussions, especially there, we should be able to not only look out for one another, but coach one another and say, listen, guys, man, that's not the way to go about it, you know. And in our own environments, to say, let's start to change the consciousness, and let us see women for who they are, and not for what they are, you know. And because we've focused so much on what they are and being, you know, sexual objects and, you know, people to satisfy our needs and so on. But let's start to actually really see who they really are, and let us be careful with, you know, with our thinking, and in that way we'll be able to get, you know, I think in a better direction.
I'm gonna have to. I don't know. Okay, I can't see Balista, but I'm gonna share this with. Okay, before we even go there, our WhatsApp number, just to remind, our WhatsApp number is 0797482090, or you can simply give us a call on 0811555189. Thank you so much, Temba. It's very commendable what you and everyone else that is involved in this organizer this whole match. It's very commendable what you guys are doing, and I hope and pray that this is not the end.
Right.
It's just the beginning of this great movement and great initiative.
No, definitely, Londi. This is just basically the kickstart. As I say, there's going to be road shows, educational programs are going to be set up, really conscientizing men and also women, you know, because really, let's be honest, there are certain women that have been abused so much that they believe that the only way for them to have meaningful existence would be the boyfriend must slap around now and then.
Yeah.
So we need to create a clear consciousness. And I mean, with superstars like Questa who are coming on board and other guys that were, and ladies, you know, it will create a real clout. And we really appreciate you coming through tomorrow, my brother, because it's going to really create a clout, especially amongst young South Africans, to start thinking the right way, you know. You know, if I see Questa treating a woman right 9 out of 10 times, I'm gonna be like him, you know. So we encourage all people of celebrity status. Now we're Londi, would you come around?
I'll be there.
And yeah, and let's really create a movement that says, you know, this is not going to be happening in our name, and we're going to do something about it. I mean, if you 1975, if you told somebody that 1994 South Africa is going to be politically free, probably a minister in apartheid would have laughed at you. But it happened, you know. So it starts somewhere, and we need to you know, start here and make sure Guti, femicide comes to an end. So yes, thank you very much.
Thank you for making time and actually coming through. We're gonna move to the K1 God, but before we get to him, we're gonna play something. Wow, buddies. Okay, Malum Cool Cat. The Queen is in the building. Show my Joe. How do you pronounce your surname?
Oh, which surname?
your surname. Your
my real
surname.
Yeah. Wegerif.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I was there. I'm like, I wonder. But I know I'm not gonna make a fool out of myself. And I'm just gonna ask you. I'm not even gonna go there. I'm not even gonna bother myself with that one. Before we continue, we were talking to Temba about the march, not in my name, that is happening tomorrow, about this whole femicide going on. What's your take on everything that is going on?
I think it's so horrible. It's so horrible that I would have to feel unsafe, you know, as a young woman. It's so unfair. Like, I'm also just trying to go about my business and whatever. And you're also trying to succeed and you're trying to make it in life and you're trying to be sociable and you're trying to be... So all these things. And you still have to worry about staying alive.
Yeah.
Like, that's so... It's just...
It's a lot of work.
Really, yeah, honestly.
It's a lot of work.
Yeah.
Okay. Are you gonna be joining the march?
I was supposed to be playing a gig and that got cancelled because of the march. So I think I might actually do that, because that's the whole reason, like, the gig I was booked for is not on anymore. So
we all together tomorrow.
Indeed.
Good. Nice one, Questa. We're coming back to you. I'm gonna be doing this back and forth thing. Because of our time.
Sure.
I wanna come back to you.
Sure.
A young boy growing up in Katlehong, a 7-year-old Senzo, what were his aspirations?
I wanted to be a soccer player at first, you know? But it's because I don't know if I was good. I actually don't know how good I was, but all the people that kind of made it out of the hood were kind of like all soccer players and whatever, and it was like a shared dream amongst the kids, you know. So it wasn't a specific one that was mine, you know. It wasn't, you know, like creative for me or something that I thought of or really wanted to do. But I wanted to be a soccer player, and then obviously as you grow, you change and you want to go into marketing and this, that, and the third. That's when I was at school, and then I don't know, I just ended up rapping, you know. I don't even know how it happened. I just ended up rapping, but the initial dream was to be a soccer player.
I was gonna ask you, my next question was going to be, what is your very first memory of you rapping?
I was rapping along to Dear Mama by Tupac. Is the first song I learned how to rap.
You, like, and a whole lot of other kids.
Yeah, it wasn't even, I didn't even start writing anything, but I learned the whole song and I could brag to my friends, and every time we played, I'm like, you know, rapping along. And,
like, I'm there.
Yeah, and then obviously in time, and you kind of, then you learn about whatever it is that he's doing. Why is this guy speaking? So what is this? You know, and then you kind of fall in love with it, and then that's, I think, how I ended up doing it.
That's nice. Yeah. And you're a poet.
Yeah.
I don't want to say initially. So you're a poet. Let's just leave it at that. A 5-year-old, a 6-year-old, a 10-year-old Maya. What were her aspirations?
I wanted to be the president for the longest time.
Oh, nice. You can still be the president.
I think I got to a point where I was like, yo, I'm actually going to have to behave myself and stuff, so that, because otherwise it's like, either I'm dedicating my life to having a clean rep so that when I become president, they don't uncover all this horrible stuff about me, or I'm just going to actually live my life to its true value and just like say, okay, presidency might not work. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's what I chose. I chose the latter.
The current state of music, holistically in South Africa. What's your take on it? Do you think we have progressed? Do you think we are authentic enough to be recognized worldwide? What's your thoughts about the current state of music? Rap. Let's rather stick to rap.
I mean,
or hip hop.
I mess with it. I like it. You know. But. Well, mainly for the fact that in the past, I don't know, 5-6 years, so many careers have been launched by this industry called hip hop, you know, which means more people can feed themselves and their families and everything like that, you know. So I'm really stoked about that fact that it's grown on to be something that you can actually pick and do as a career, you know, and nobody's going to be weird about it, you know. And also, I mean, I also appreciate the quality of the music that's coming out. I think all the artists are really challenging themselves to try new things and try to be authentic as possible, you know. And I mean, there's always something that's gonna be like, ah damn, I wish that didn't come out, you know. Who's this guy, you know what I mean? But that's just the nature of the beast. But all in all, to just answer it, I'm stoked about it. I'm really good with the state of hip-hop right now, you know?
I'd have to agree with Cresta on this, because it's like, I hate it when people always like try and get you to complain about what rappers are doing, and especially what like new rappers and young rappers are doing. If you don't like what they're doing, do better. Exactly. First of all, like, you know what I mean? People love complaining. And also, I hate this notion, like, oh, trying to say like what young rappers and stuff should rap about and stuff as well. That's so tired. Like, you know what I mean? The whole idea of hip hop and rap was to break the mold, né? So I also hate the old school rappers who are like, oh, why are you rapping?
Yeah, what's this new stuff?
I hate that so much, because when they came out, they were that. Mm. And they're pissed that, like, you know, now you have
something else.
Yeah, now you have to be like this, ugh, it's tired.
And I suppose that music in holistically revolves. So why wouldn't hip hop or rap evolve?
Yeah, it's supposed to grow.
You know?
It's supposed
to
be
supposed to move from here to there.
Yeah.
You can't sound the same way that people who are rapping in 1990 sounded.
You're speaking to different people,
exactly.
First of all. You know
as well.
I mean? You're speaking to different people, so you can't use the same language. I mean, there's a generation that didn't know about something as silly as an iPhone, so you can't really expect them to say now, I'll iMessage you, or now we're going to FaceTime. You know, they don't understand that. Yeah. Like my mom, my grandma, you know, they don't understand all of
I'll
that. So you can't speak to them. You can't say now, I'm speaking to old people and I want to FaceTime, a group FaceTime something.
Yeah.
Like, they don't understand that. So now it's kids, as generations change and evolve, as like how you said, they find their own identity and ways to communicate whatever it is that they're about. And, and whether you've been here 10 years or 20 years or whatever, and if you are not opening up to the change of the new youth, because you might no longer be that, you know, then you're in trouble, I think, you know, and you're
as
not
well,
a full
I mean,
representative of of the culture.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. That's exactly what I was going to say, is that it actually, like, as an artist, your job is to really just be a reflection of the culture around you, right? The fact that the young kids love what Quest is doing right now that much, and that, like, the people that do know Show My Jersey love what I'm doing, it just shows, like, okay, we're representing actually what's around us. Why would we be doing something
and
else?
And you're doing something
if people
right,
love it.
I came across a post during the week on Facebook that just it threw me off. And This lady, I don't know, what does she do in the music industry? I don't know who she is, but she's got this thing of she always doesn't have an opinion about music and artists.
Yeah.
And she says, she didn't even say in her opinion, she says, South Africa, in regards to hip hop, she only sees three names leaving the legacy. and that is AKA Zakwe, and I can't remember the third one. I was like,
show my Josie probably.
Probably.
And she said something about the lyrical content of their music, and I'm like, actually, and no jokes, I wish Neo was here because he would attest to this. I said to him, Neo, look what is this woman saying? You're talking about a lyrical content in these people's music. What about Cresta? Have you seen the writing skill of that guy?
I mean,
there's someone who comes in and says only three people are gonna leave a legacy. Isn't that disrespect to any other rapper out there?
Not at all.
It's not.
No, people. It's the nature of the beast. People, you put your music out there or your product out there for people to say we either like it or not. Mm. So when they don't, you can't say they're disrespecting you. They really don't, and that's cool. You know what I mean?
Plus,
they
she's can lying.
Move on to something else.
So
yeah, and another no, thing.
Just, I listen to Questa's album probably every day of my life.
Yeah,
right?
Oh,
in the car, every like it's a dope album. So it's even a lie. Now.
And then you come and say only three people in the rap scene are going to leave a legacy. What are you saying? Which rap are you listening to? Which hip hop artists are you listening to?
I mean, it'll always be in debate. I mean, I also can't put stuff out expecting it to be liked. You know, I can be hopeful that people can resonate to it all, but you know, I can't say I want to make this so that maybe Majorzy becomes a fan,
yeah,
or so that you become. You know, I mean, I can't determine what makes you a fan of some, so I can only do me and put it out. And it's like how I am as a human being. You either like me or you don't. That's it. I'm not gonna now say, oh, you like that stuff, so let me become this thing. You know what I mean? So I can't use that also in the music. So I think I'm always ready for people to say some stupid stuff like that. You know what I mean? I'm like, hey,
that
man,
was very stupid. I'm sorry, but that was really stupid.
It was,
and so
just incorrect, misinformed. On the other hand, like, I want to become more like, you know, guys that have been in it longer and stuff, because I've just, for the past few months, like, I mean, I only came out with Okay Malum Cool Cat's album, and I've just been getting incredible love, like, only, right? So that the moment I got the first piece of, like, criticism, whoa, I was like, oh my goodness.
But it's a good thing. It doesn't look like
over.
It broke it's you anyway.
I can't.
You can't let it. You can't let it.
Right. And by the time I got, like, the second piece of criticism, then I was like,
it's okay.
As well.
Like, yeah.
But it's like, it's also because, like, I'm doing the acting thing, right? Mm-hmm. So if people, like, no, my acting is whatever, or like.
So now they'll always, yeah.
They're like that. So people say something about my acting, I can be like, okay, sharp, and maybe it'll be like, ish, you know, whatever, because I know it's a little bit true. I'm not an experienced actress. Like, I cast because I'm a rapper, you know. But if somebody said I can't rap, it genuinely would not touch me. Yeah. It wouldn't, hey, because they're lying. Like, you know that you can rap.
Actually,
that's the thing, right? Though, it's like if I did a whack verse and then if someone criticized, I'd be like, because you kind of know it's true. It's only when you know it's true, right, that it kind of hurts. But like, if somebody said to me,
you completely, generally, just can't.
Oh, first of all, never. Mm. Someone said, "Show my Josie, I'm going to go to rap as Changan." Guys, it's blatant lies. you can't get pissed at lies as well.
Mm. So your writing process, like, how does it go? Do you close yourself in a room and write, or you just hear a melody in your head and you're like, wherever you are, and just start writing, whatever? What do you, your writing process, what is it?
I'm going to copy Questa. So. I'm sitting here like,
let's rather start with you.
start.
There's nothing to copy. I mean, I don't know. I don't have it. It's like, sometimes it's a melody that's in my head for maybe a hook of something, or sometimes I'm just writing just a bunch of lyrics, and sometimes I'm listening to a beat that's going to make me do something, and sometimes I do that melody and then want a beat later on, or there's really no process to it, except maybe, like, I just always have to have, like, you know, Nando's and beer.
Wow, oh, nice. Yeah, chicken
that's
and beer.
Like my story. Yeah, chicken and beer one way, you know. Ludicrous. I know it's ludicrous.
Right.
It's not. It's you.
It actually is.
What I usually do is I go to Questa's album, copy what he says, and then say it in song. And I'm joking. No. I for me, like, I write best.
Watch the tweets come out.
Yo, imagine.
Like basically what I'll do, I write much, much better if I got people around me, if it's vibes around.
Mm-hmm.
I've gone to a studio where I was trying to record what would have been Dumi phone, by the way.
Oh.
But the vibe was so sterile.
Mm-hmm.
And like the so-called producer was sitting there like on his phone. And then I'm supposed to be hype. I'm supposed to bring the hype onto the mic, but mm-hmm. everybody around me is dead. I hate that. Can't do it. I even left. I'm like, I can't record here. I love you guys. You guys are mad talented, but mm-hmm. the vibe's not there.
Yeah.
So for me, like, yeah, the vibe has to be lit. It's almost like you feed off of each other. And you also want to get immediate feedback, like, mm-hmm. does this actually knock, you know, not by people saying it, but by watching how they respond to you when you drop that thing. But as well, the process, like, I'm lucky because I rap in a language that nobody else on the track is going to be rapping in.
Yeah.
So you're always going to kill it. Well, regardless.
Well, what I'll do is I'll take the chorus there, mm-hmm. and like whatever's in the chorus, let's say they say like something in Zulu now, I'll take that and say it in Tsonga and mm-hmm. then basically carry on from there. So that'll be my flow. Like this is not a good example because it was already being said in Tsonga, but with the song I did with PH, it was like Amikuyin was in the hook. Mm-hmm. So I just take Amikuyini, start the next Amikuyin, same Melingo. Mm-hmm. Like, and then you know, I always just take something from the chorus and then jump in with it.
Nice. You've traveled a lot.
Yes.
And you've been to Tanzania, Senegal. How did you feed off those cultures around Africa?
Like,
how has that helped you as an individual, as an artist, to grow and evolve?
Oh, it's gonna help me a bunch, trust me, because I speak Swahili, I speak French, so like I'm still going to enter them with mm-hmm. those rhymes, like, you know what I mean. But it just gave me like this I think huge appreciation for the continent. I lived in Tanzania, I lived in Senegal, but I also traveled like to other countries and was broke ass like doing this, right? I was literally but was really forcing to just see the continent and whatever. So I think like I just have this beautiful appreciation of like of that and of the resourcefulness of mm-hmm. of African people. And so even now, like, I hope I'll never go broke again, but if I did, I'd be able to survive and I'd still be able to do. And that's something that I think the continent has taught me, man. People always make it work somehow.
I don't think you should say you hope you never go broke again. You never go broke again, ever. With so much talent, you can't.
I really recommend rapping, by the way. When I was a poet, I was mad broke. I think like
go out there and rap, kids.
Forget poetry. Like in school, whatever. Write it in like a corner, like keep it to yourself. But like really rapping is what to do. No, I'm playing, poetry is awesome, but definitely rapping is nice for the pockets.
Consistency. You've been around for a while now.
Yeah.
And we see you
10.
You've been around since what, 2003? 2007.
The first time my song played on radio.
Yeah.
2007.
But wow. You had been at it. Demo. You had been at it for the longest time. Yeah.
You know, in the back rooms and whatever.
Since 2007 to 2017.
Yeah.
We've seen a lot of people coming up and disappearing.
Yeah.
You've been dishing out track after track, and you're like, where, award or not, I'm here, I'm doing this. Yeah. And what keeps you motivated? What keeps you going?
I don't care for it. Like, I really don't pay attention to it. And by it, I mean whatever the industry expects me to be or whatever they want me to be. I really don't. I'm not that guy. I keep to myself. So I've always satisfied myself, and that has in turn been embraced by people, you mm-hmm. know. That's never something I control, so I've never tried to control the outcome of anything, you know. I just literally just try to make the music and just do that, and I've been blessed with the embrace that the people gave it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's never been something I consciously do. Like, I go, yo, I want to please the people right now, let me, you know what I mean. I just literally just try to do it. So in all of that, I keep a lot of myself, you know, and I think that's what made me, well, maybe that's what's still keeping me here. The fact that I've never become anything else except mm-hmm. the one person that I've always been, you know.
So yeah,
it's just a matter of, and cliche as it sounds, but just stay true to you, and you know, you know, it never gets old.
Just do
it's
you.
Also, yeah, his voice though.
His voice.
How can
yay.
You? How can he can say anything? I'll be
I
like,
hate this thing about
and
you're
like,
it's so great, it. Guys. That's it's not even auto tune. I'm sitting here with him. If you're listening at home, I'm sitting with him. There's no auto tune device in front of him.
Like none
this
whatsoever.
Is his voice. Yeah, that's like, how he sounds. His
voice. It's so crazy about this voice thing because sometimes people forget that I actually can rap. You know, and they get lost in the. Did you hear what I said?
Did you hear what I said?
How you said it? Mm-hmm.
No. You know, yeah, but there's that thing about your voice that it has that cloud.
I woke up and found it here too. So,
you know, oh, yeah. Oh,
you the seat I'm on is moist. I ain't getting it. No, because wait, it's summer. Oh my
is
God.
It the suit though?
I'm sitting on a seat.
let's put it out there. Is it the seat though?
It is. It must be. It has to be.
No, I don't know what to say. I'm just lost for words with what you just said right now. I don't know what
is
to say.
Is the econ on?
No, it's not. It's probably that.
Yeah, let's
probably.
Find something else.
But yeah, I love your voice. I love your music as well.
Thank you so much, man. Also, just to give that back, like the freshness and the representation of your culture, just. It's new and I love it. It's awesome.
I should have recorded that. That's crazy.
It's really awesome. it's really crazy.
Thank you.
The first time I heard it was I was doing something with PH and it just played me some random stuff. Hey, what's this? You know? and then obviously started hearing it more on Madam Cool Cat and the PSDJ songs. The song, what's it called?
Oh, Do Me Phone.
Yeah, Do Me Phone.
I should say it Do Me PH because he put me on to so many people. So many people, like, I heard you from PH. So, yeah. Actually, shout out to him. Yeah, I hope he's listening. But yeah.
Your stuff's great too. I mean, you're doing amazing stuff. And can't wait for the full on takeover.
Oh.
And the French and the Swahili and everything.
Yeah, nice. Dude, we should do a Swahili track. Well, you can't.
They're actually having a chat now. I'm not in the room. Like, I'm so not in the room right now.
Because, yo, East Africa. Africa is amazing. I want to go there. I hear they're also having like a Castle Light, you know, unlocks thing because, you know, I'm doing the one in Polokwane right now. Mm-hmm. And then they're having the same people organizing one in Tanzania. I'm like, let's make a track, take over that side as well.
Like, nice. Right? We're looking forward to all of that and you guys growing. South African Music Awards next week. why did you just laugh like that? Why that look? This look is just like,
it makes
whatever.
Me laugh. It just always makes me laugh. I mean, it's all good and dandy that you being acknowledged as a nominee or whatever, that your stuff was that dope, you know, but I just always say that regardless of the result, you know, I could go back to the studio and do some hot ish still, you know what I mean? So it doesn't define anything, but I mean, being acknowledged, I guess, is a great feeling and winning, I guess. But I mean, it is what it is. It's the industry just giving each other, I don't know, pats on the back saying well done for this and well done for that, and sometimes that feels great, but it's never the reason you do something.
You don't need affirmation to do something that you love.
I mean, I already love it, you know, so there's nothing they can change. I already love what I do.
I wasn't even invited, so don't look at me. But it's so funny because my little cousins, my little sisters and stuff in Limpopo, like, they think I'm really famous. I'm like, no, like, I'm Kora too, you know what I mean? they think like sharp, like, you're famous now. So they're like, oh, you're going to the summers, they're going to the metro. I'm like, no, I'm not invited. Like, no one knows who I am.
Just give me till the next ones, please.
I've got two songs.
I went to Back to the City. And before the whole thing started, there was like a mini, what do you call the thing? Like, artists from abroad, we had like a mini conference type of thing. And someone said something about you, and this guy jumped on his throat and he said, I don't know what's the hype. It was a good thing. It was a good thing. He said, you only mentioning her now, I could have introduced you to her 2 years ago. I was like, okay. So she's been around, she's been doing her thing.
Well, I've been alive, but I've been only rapping since the same.
Like, so I could have been introduced. I was like,
at the end of what is he pigging here? Like, that, no. I wasn't alive. So.
So that's what I wanted to find out. Tukiti, he said something about 2 years ago, and you saying December. So which one is it? Or maybe he could have introduced you to that person as a poet.
I have no idea what this oak is rambling on about, but
but probably if he knew me or thought I was worth knowing, then it would have been through my poetry, and it probably would have been as well through my travels. So I was a little bit popular already, like on social media, for people just following my trips around the continent, following me, like sneaking into certain countries, like bribing people and riding on motorbikes. Like I was wilding out. Like I was doing a lot. So a lot of people were already sort of following the journey. Mm-hmm. So maybe that's what it means.
Ooh.
Oh yeah, and I did like post a couple of Instagram videos of just me rapping, like I'm broke as a joker, used up all the coins that I found on my sofa. Like I would just do that because I was genuine. But I wouldn't say I was a rapper.
Maybe they saw something that only came to life in December, which I think it's a good thing. There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, that means he strongly believed there was something in there. There was something in you.
Oh, that's
so
nice.
Moving forward, where to from here?
That was such a weird question.
It is. It is. But we
I
want to
by the garage right now.
Wow.
Poor gas.
Okay.
I don't know, man. Just look, I'm boring, right? Because I'm just really about music. I mean, more music, you know. For me, more music is going to come out, you know. We have this thing called Rap Life that I started, which is like a platform for just upcoming rappers, you know. Uh-huh. So there's going to be a launch of I'm going to introduce a lot of new artists, you know. There's a duo called TLT. Uh-huh. You know, there's also a producer, mad producer, his name is Makwa. And also obviously a not maybe more known person would be Kid X, who's gonna drop his album this year. Also TDK, yes. Thank the King. And I'm also just I've already started sort of working on the new album, but just trying to piece it together bit by bit. You know, haven't full on gone into studio and hibernated, but there's a new album that's gonna drop either. Actually, I'm going to drop it this year, man. Forget it. I'm going to drop
it
this year.
Nice. You heard it first. You heard it first. Yeah, first hand. He's dropping an album this year. Yeah. Miss Maya.
Yes.
I like calling people by their real names. I'm just one of those people. I prefer calling people by their real names.
We've been bonding now.
Sandal.
Oh.
Okay. Be like us.
Yeah.
Where to from here?
For me, I'm going to actually make a Swahili song with this guy called Questa. I don't know if you guys know about that guy.
I like how you plug yourself. Such a cool thing.
Don't worry, I heard about that guy, but good luck with
the song. But if you don't plug yourself, who will?
He's terrible, you know. You need to really come through to save.
Maybe that's
song.
What she needs on her song. That sucky
make
thing.
Make me
that
look really
has,
good.
You know.
But okay, yeah. No, we're gonna say it live on cliffcentral.com. We're gonna make the Swahili joint.
Nice one. Yeah, okay, another one, people. You heard it first.
Yeah. But other than that, I'm definitely gonna try and make an album. I think it's gone beyond the point of me like still trying to make an EP.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I'm just gonna go directly do the album, and then after that, I'm gonna make a movie, and then continue with this movie life of mine.
Continue to slay.
Yeah, man. Oh yeah, like I also forgot that I'm also going to be doing The Most.
Okay. Let us
in general I'm just gonna literally just be doing The Most. I'm living my bestest life right now, like,
is it?
Yeah,
that's a good thing. That's a very nice thing. Cliff Central or 20 something, we've got this thing. Yeah, 20 something 5, this is the name of the show. 20 something and good 5 questions. And I looked for other questions, but I was like, I'm going to recycle the ones that I've used before. Because I think it's suited for the both of you. So it's 5 questions. I'm going to make it 6. So it's going to be 3-3. It's not going to be 5 each. Okay. The first one to Senza is, you're a new addition to a crayon box. What color would you be and why?
Wait, that didn't go right. Wait. Say it again.
You are a new addition to a crayon box.
Wow.
What color would you be and why?
Yellow.
Nice.
Because
that's my favorite color. Because gilly yellow bone. Hey, my request
I am now. Yellow bone.
Questa,
because I'm sitting next to one.
Oh, that's a good one. What is the last gift you gave to someone?
You also want to be very vulgar right now. Woo! Let's say it was an act. It was a favorable act.
just say it. We unscripted on radio, uncensored. You can even say it.
My dad is listening right now. He literally sent me a message being like, you're lying. You did rap in Tanzania.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
It's like,
I think we get it.
Yeah, yeah, I gave a very pleasurable sort of delightful gift of physical action to a person.
Nice. What is the funniest thing that has happened to you recently?
Wow. funniest thing that has happened to me recently. Well, I was with my daughter, right, at this one time, and we were visiting someone, and I was like, she's like four, right?
Yeah.
And like, it's time to leave and everything. So she was playing there. She doesn't want to leave, right? So I call her mom, like, yo, I'm jealous, Sambit, you know? And she fails also. So I go back. Now she's staring at this wall. And I'm like, what are you doing? Let's go. I'm thinking, Dad. I'm thinking. You know, so, like, let me think about this. I don't know if I want to go or not. That was
wow.
Funny,
yeah. That was really, that's a nice one. If you're a box of cereal, what would you be and why?
Rice Krispies, because we couldn't afford them when I was growing up.
Why is your best friend your best friend?
I don't know. He's probably the only person that is dumber than me.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. That says a lot about you. That says a lot about you. Yeah. What are the top things you do before you leave the house? Just three.
Check my phone, invite people to my meet and greet, which is happening tomorrow in Malvo.
Wow. The plug, guys. You are so deep into this plugging thing. I like it.
What else do I do? Brush my teeth, you know, stuff like that. Basic hygiene.
Thank you so much, guys. It's been great. It's been amazing. See you tomorrow on the march. Not in my hashtag, not in my name.
And in
Melville. And in
Melville.
Yes. And in Melville. Between 10, from 10 in the morning. So it's been great. It's been lovely. I miss the monkeys. They sent something, but I can't play it. So it said, but they said shout out to you. And
Shout out
hope
to them.
To see you guys soon. Yeah.
Who's that? So the monkeys?
Yeah, Jack and Neo.
Oh, yeah, Jack, Neo. I don't know if I should call you monkeys. Shout out to you.
Yeah, we call each other love monkeys. So, nice one, guys. Thank you so much
for having us.
Thank you for having us.
See you next week, guys. It's been good. It's been real. Ta-da. CliffCentral.com.